As we go into the word God has prepared for us, I want you to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark chapter 5, and we'll be reading from verse 1 to 20. It's a lengthy passage, but it's a good thing when God's people come together and read the Bible. Amen? Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. And if you are there, you can say amen. If you are not there yet, look at your neighbor and look at the preacher and say, slow down, and I'll wait for you. But if you are there, you can say amen. We'll go ahead and read the passage. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. And the Bible reads, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, nor even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me. For he said to him, him being Jesus, said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. Verse 13, and at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the man who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Verse 18, we're almost done. And when he had gone into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with them. However, Jesus did not permit him and said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for you and how he had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim it in Decapolis and all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Church, this morning our sermon title is Stop, Drop, and Pray. Stop, drop, and pray. So at this moment, I'm going to pray, but I invite you to pray for yourself as well, because I believe that God has a message for you. I believe God wants to speak to you this morning, but however, the devil also comes and distracts our minds. So pray for yourself as I pray for myself. Let's pray. Father God, now it's time. This is the time you have prepared for us to be in your presence to hear from you. Lord, I'm nothing but dust. So at this moment, I ask that each word I will speak will come from your throne alone. Lord, that you will help me to be slow to speak, but quick to listen. Lord, we invite you to speak to us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May I be so bold to tell you this morning, friends, that there is such a thing as a devoted Christian who is so faithful to attending church, who is so faithful to going to Bible study, who is a good steward, who is a good neighbor, but yet still live a life that lusts to see blessings from God. May I be so bold that there are so many people who say they have a relationship with Jesus, who say they have a relationship with a God who's all powerful, but yet still lack to see growth in their personal life, still lack to see victory over the trials they're going through. So how is that possible? That's a question I ask myself, because I often find myself praying day and night for deliverance, but yet I don't see deliverance. And the Bible tells us and introduces us a God who says to you and I, pray, ask and you shall receive, knock, the door will be open, search and you shall find. But yet it seems as though some of us are searching but are not finding. And so we have this problem here that there are so many Christians, there are so many people who are going through so much, but yet it seems like God is not there. But yet the Bible tells us we have a God that says, come. Cast your cares and cast your burdens, whatever it is you're going through, bring it before me and he will give you deliverance. So how is that possible that there's so many of us who live a life without seeing blessings from God? And the Bible, I believe the Bible gives us an answer to that. James chapter 1 speaks on this passage. James chapter 1 talks about if any of you lacks wisdom, come and ask God who gives what? Deliberately. But it also goes on to say that when you ask, you must what? Believe. You must have faith. And it goes on, if you don't have faith, if you don't believe, do not suppose that you're going to receive anything from the Lord. So I find it that so many of us lack to see blessings from God, one, because we lack faith. We ask but do not believe. And the Bible is saying that if you ask, or if you're asking without faith, don't suppose to receive anything from God. And we also see also in James chapter 5, it also tells us another issue. The Bible tells us that some of us don't receive because we don't simply ask. Some of us don't simply receive because we don't ask. And we do not receive because we are asking with the wrong motive. So that way we may spend whatever we're getting on our own personal pleasures. So one, we lack faith. Or we just simply don't ask. Or we just asking with the wrong motive. And so the Bible is calling us to come before God who answers and says yes. And it's interesting, as we were looking in our Bible, Mark chapter 5, the Bible introduces us to a man who was in desperate need of an answer to prayer. This man was in desperate need to an answer to prayer. The Bible introduces us a man, and then this man, the Bible doesn't even give us his name. This man, all we know that he was possessed by legion. So this man is referred to as legion, but he was in a desperate situation. This man was in desperate of an answer to prayer. You see, this man, the Bible tells us that he was often cutting himself day and night and crying out, and he lived in the tombs. But I want you to imagine with me for a second. Perhaps this man was somebody's son. This man was somebody's husband. Maybe he was somebody's neighbor. He was somebody's friend. He was somebody's student. He was somebody to somebody. And then you can only imagine if you are somebody to somebody, when you are going through something, if your family can do something for you, they will do it. If your friends can do something for you, they will do it. Just imagine your husband just found out that they have cancer and they were about to die in a few months. If you can take it away, you will do it. And so the Bible tells us that oftentimes this man was chained in chains and shackles, but he was too powerful. He had this supernatural power. He was too powerful and he would break these chains. So his family had tried to do something for him. His friends had tried to do something for him. His neighbor has tried to do something for him. His community had attempted to help this man, but no one was able to help him. You see, this man was constantly hurting himself and probably hurting other people in the community to the point everybody give up on him. And this man, we can see he was in a desperate need of an answer to prayer. This man was in desperate need. You see, he couldn't help himself. His friends could not help himself. His mother could not help himself. His family could not even help him. And no one could help him. Church, let me propose something to you this morning. May I boldly say that it is okay to be weak. It is okay to recognize that no one is able to help you. You can't help yourself. Your friends can't help you. And it's okay to appear weak. May I be able to tell you that this morning, it's okay to appear weak. Perhaps you have been dealing with something in your life. Maybe you have a sickness you've been dealing with for the last couple of years. Maybe your children are no longer in the church and you've been praying, Lord, bring them back. And it seems like all hope has been lost. And it seems like there's nothing you can do, nowhere to turn. You see, this man had nowhere to turn. He was desperate. And the Bible tells us this man was constantly cutting himself day and night. You see, in order for him to escape his emotional, his psychological pain, he cut himself. However, the Bible goes on to tell us, then they came to the other side of the region, them being also Jesus. See, Jesus came to the other side of the region. He got off the boat. An opportunity arose for this man. You see, this man was powerless. This man was weak. No one could help him. His friends can't help him. And then he sees a one who's able. And the Bible tells us he runs to Jesus and he falls before Jesus. A King James Version says he begins to worship. This man runs towards Jesus and he falls and he begins to worship. Like, amen to that. Let me break it down for you for a second. You see, this man is powerless. This man has lost. He has nowhere to turn. And he sees Jesus and he runs before Jesus and he falls and begins to worship. Let me tell you, friends, it is through worship and prayer that you and I will find the strength to overcome whatever situation that is unpleasant we're dealing with. Are you worshiping this morning? Are you praying this morning? When you are weak and powerless, go and fall on your knees and worship. You see, this man has been trying to overcome the legion on his own. He's been cutting himself. The family been trying to put him in chains and shackles, but it was nothing compared to the force the enemy or the devil had on this man. But he came and began to worship. You see, the Bible doesn't tell us what this man said. All we know that he's worshiping. See, the NIV version says he runs and falls on his knee. He goes at Jesus' feet and begins to worship. That's where you and I will find strength, is at Jesus' feet. When you are feeling weak this morning, begin to worship. Run to Jesus and worship. Begin to worship on behalf of your children. Begin to worship on behalf of this church mission. Begin to worship and spend time in prayer. This is where you'll find the strength. Because you see, when this man, now we see this man in complete surrender, he's on Jesus' feet, and Jesus now takes over the fight. We see the story gets interrupted because now Jesus begins to converse with the demons. So we see that Jesus now takes over the battle. Jesus now begins to confront the enemy. Whatever circumstance you may be going through this morning, unless you are worshiping, unless you completely surrender, unless you get out of the way and allow Jesus to take over, you're never going to find victory. So this man finds his strength. He finds help at Jesus' feet in worship and pray. That's where you and I need to be. We need to be a praying church. We need to be a praying people who are truly worshiping. But you see, this man saw an opportunity and he ran and fell at Jesus' feet in complete surrender. That's where you and I need to be, at Jesus' feet in complete surrender. First, we got to recognize we are weak. We got to recognize we are powerless. We got to recognize there's nothing we can do for ourselves. But we have one who's able. We have one who's willing to fight on our behalf, who says, come. And the Bible tells us now that Jesus now begins to converse with these demons. And the demons now are trembling a little bit. And they say to him, what you want to do with us, Jesus, Son of God? And Jesus had rebuked them from talking. And they're complaining, what do you want to do with us, Jesus? You see, the demons know they're in trouble. They know they're in trouble. You see, when people were coming at them with chains and shackles, they were able to overcome them. When the man was trying to escape, we can see he has some sort of control over his own body as well, but he's not able to fight against it. But this time they are facing Jesus face to face, and they begin to tremble, and they are afraid, and they are terrified, because they know who Jesus is. You see, they call Jesus by name, the Son of God. They know who Jesus is, and they are facing Jesus now. And it's interesting because the Bible tells us this man was possessed by legion. Now, when you and I look at the word legion, oftentimes we think about it's an extremely large number, or an extremely large number of people or of an army. See, this word legion back in Jesus' time had different meaning. For one, when you thought about the word legion, it was a word that was associated with the Roman army, which contained around 5,000 soldiers or around 4,000 soldiers. So this word was a word that was specifically used to identify the Roman army specifically. And we can look at it also in the English language. It means it was a huge number of soldiers. But when we break down the word, it actually comes from a Latin word, which it kind of derives from a word called logos. Logos, which means to speak with a highly intelligent. So we see this man, he wasn't not only out of control of his mind, he has some sort of intelligence. And now I come from a country where, in a small village where people practice witchcraft, where people make deal with the devil. I come from a place where people sacrifice their children in order for them to gain some sort of power, in order for them to gain some sort of success, in order for them to gain some kind of riches. They go and make deal with the devil and they sacrifice their children and do all these crazy things. I come from that kind of environment where even my own grandmother practiced witchcraft. So in other words, we don't know how this man came to have these demons inside of them. All we know that this man has been demon possessed. So we don't know how, but all I know, most of the time when people are demon possessed, they either went and sold themselves to the devil so they can gain something. Now, sometimes we can see people also who are getting possessed, not even knowing it, because they don't have a relationship with God. They are simply not protected. They are drinking alcohol and the devil uses that to control their mind. They are smoking, the devil uses that to control their mind. However, we don't know how this man had come to a place where he was demon possessed, but all we know, this man has some sort of supernatural power. This man has some intelligence. In other words, when people back then, when they look at the word legion and probably read this text, they not only did they think about the Roman army, but they thought about the way the Romans lived. The Romans were very secular. The Romans were people who had many gods. The Romans liked to indulge themselves in different pleasures of this earth. So this man, we can say, he didn't have any spirituality. He didn't have no relationship with God. You see, at that particular time, Jews did not spend time in the graveyard. Jews did not touch the dead bodies. As a matter of fact, Jews didn't even go touch pigs. So this man is in a place where it was not considered to be any spiritual. And the point I'm trying to make here is, if you may be in a situation, maybe your legion is that you feel so disconnected from God. Maybe you haven't been praying enough. Maybe you haven't reading your Bible enough. Maybe you haven't been faithful in your tithe. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how far you are from God. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what sins you've been committing. All you need to do is run and fall at Jesus' feet and he will receive you. All you need to do is come and spend time with Jesus in prayer and repent your sin, and he's willing to receive you. You see, Jesus now is standing there and he's talking to the demon, and the man is complete surrender. This is where you and I need to fight the battle against the force of evil. This is where you and I will find victory over the family problems we have. It is on our knees before Jesus in worshiping and prayer. And Jesus now takes over, and we see the demons are trembling, and the demons now begin to beg for their lives. They say, Jesus, don't, the Son of God, don't send us back. Don't let us leave, don't send us out of this country. And they begin to beg to Jesus, and they look at, on the corner of the eye, they see pigs, they see swine. They begin to beg Jesus, let us go into these pigs. Let us go into the swine. And the, if you look at it, the word that began, they used to say that he was begging, it's actually a word that you look in Greek, it says pray. They were praying to Jesus, asking that he would not send them out of the country or send them back to the abyss. And so these demons are pleading with Jesus and are begging for their lives. You know what Jesus does? He gives them permission. I want you to notice that some for a second. Jesus says yes to the demons. If Jesus can say yes to the demons, wouldn't he surely say yes to your prayer? If Jesus can say yes to the prayers of his enemy, wouldn't he surely say yes to his children, to the very people he has died for and paid by with his blood? Wouldn't he surely grant and say yes to your prayers? Friends, we have a God that says yes. We have a God that is willing to step in when you and I surrender. If Jesus can say yes to the demons, if Jesus can say yes to his enemies. You see, the difference is the enemies knew who Jesus was. They knew what he was capable of doing. And so they come to him knowing what he's able to do. So do you know what Jesus is capable of doing on your behalf? Do you know Jesus can restore your life? Do you know Jesus can give you victory over the sin you've been dealing with, whatever addiction? Do you know Jesus can transform your life completely? And so Jesus says yes to the demons. And the demons now, we see this scene, the demons go into these pigs, and these pigs begin to run off the cliff and falling into the sea and drowning. What a crazy scene. Could you imagine being there and watching all these pigs just going off a cliff, all going the same direction and falling? Could you imagine? Because if I was those individuals who were attending these pigs, I would have been converted then. I would have been like, what in the world? I went to Jesus like, how did you do that? But the Bible tells us these people go off and go to the city in the country and call the people, and now the people comes running. And when they get there, not only to see Jesus, they find a man who's been demon possessed sitting in his right mind and clothed, and they get terrified. They are afraid. You know why they're afraid? This man, these people are all aware the condition this man was in before he was delivered. They know how they used to put him in chains and shackles, and he was able to break them. They know the supernatural power he had. Now they see this man sitting in his right mind and crowed, and they are confused. Let me tell you, friends, when you and I encounter Jesus, when you and I come to Jesus, something happens. A transformation takes place in our lives. You are no longer the same person you used to be when you truly encounter Jesus. When you open your heart to Jesus, you're not that same person anymore. People look at you and say, how is it Etienne used to be a drunkard, now he's preaching? How is it that Etienne used to smoke drugs, is here now preaching? They don't understand. How is it this person used to be a wife beater, now he's such a loving husband? How is it this person was in debt, now is walking around and driving a nice car? They don't understand. Let me tell you something. They don't understand because the power of God is being revealed through your life. So are you allowing God to use you as an instrument to confuse the world? When they look at you, they get afraid because they know there is something different about you. They know there is something powerful about you they cannot understand. You see, these people are scared. They are terrified because they're not used to seeing God's power. And the Bible tells us those who are tending the pigs explains to them what had happened. And then those people now come to Jesus and say, please go away. Get off our region. Leave. And what does Jesus do? Once again, he says what? Yes. You see, Jesus desired to have a relationship with them. Jesus desired to give them delivery over whatever they may be going through. Jesus desired to give them the words of life. Jesus wants to minister to them, but the people reject them and says, no, go away. We don't want you here. And Jesus says yes. Now, I want to let you know something. Jesus never uses force. Jesus is a kind God. You see, Jesus has this desire to be in a relationship with you and I, but if we push him away, he will leave. Even though it hurts him, he will leave because love cannot be forced. Could you imagine if you were forced to marry your significant other and you had to leave with them? Would that feel good? No, it wouldn't. But Jesus says yes to the prayer of the demons. He says yes to the citizens of this country. I can't pronounce the name of that country. That's why I'm not really mentioning it. Jesus says yes to those people. And Jesus says yes to the demons. And Jesus will surely say yes to you as well. And so, the Bible tells us now Jesus gets on his boat and he's about to leave. Now, I just want you to just take a moment and just pause and just take it in now. We've been talking about this man who was demon-possessed, who was powerless, who was weak, was on his knees praying and worshiping. And that's where he was able to find the strength. But the Bible doesn't tell us this man doesn't say any word. You see, the demons began to talk. We've been talking about the demons. We've been talking about the citizen. Now we look at this man. I want you to imagine yourself as a man who was, as that man who was demon-possessed, who was powerless, and who was desperate. Imagine you are that man. Imagine, maybe you are that man. Maybe there's something you're desperately asking God for an answer to. Maybe it may be whatever it is, but I want you to imagine you are that man who's been so desperate, been thinking about ending your life, and all of a sudden Jesus or someone like Jesus comes and sets you free. How would you respond? Maybe you're walking down the street and you're about to get hit by a car, and then somebody jumps out and pushes you out of the way, and they get hit by a car in your spot. How would you respond to that individual who just saved your life? How would you look at them? How would you behave around them? What do you think? How do you think this man was behaving around Jesus? How would he respond to that love? I mean, matter of fact, how do you and I behave around Jesus when we look at the cross? When he died the death that you and I deserve, how do you show your gratitude to him? Because the Bible tells us, Jesus gets on the boat and he's about to leave. Now, this man who has been demon-possessed now is set free and his life is completely restored. He doesn't run to his family and friends right away and begin to celebrate with them. No, he actually runs after Jesus and he said, let me go with you. He realizes he owes it all to Jesus and he wants to follow Jesus. He wants to go where Jesus goes. He wants to serve him. He says to Jesus, let me go with you. And that's how he responds. He desires to run after Jesus. And he desires to go wherever Jesus goes. He realized his entire life now belongs to Jesus. Does your entire life belong to Jesus? How do you show your gratitude to that great sacrifice on the cross? You see, this man runs after Jesus. And what does Jesus say to him? Do you know? Jesus says, no. It's interesting because Jesus says yes to the demons, he says yes to the people, and he says no to this man who wants to run after Jesus. And I want to propose to you this morning that sometimes Jesus says no. Sometimes God says no to some of your prayers. Are you okay with that? You see, sometimes Jesus says no. And he's okay when he says no. You see, sometimes the blessing we may be asking may be less than what Jesus is planning to give you. His blessing may be bigger than what you're asking for. Jesus sees things in a different perspective. He has different plans for your life. And so this man comes to Jesus and said, let me go with you. I want to follow you. I owe it all to you. And Jesus says, no, because he has different plans for him. You see, a man who once had no hope, a man who once had no purpose for living, he desired to die. Now Jesus has different plans for him and he gives him a mission. He gives them purpose. And let me tell you something. Jesus says no, but he has different plans for you. He has different mission for you. Jesus tells them, no, go back to your friends and show them the compassion the Lord had on you. Go and share your testimony. Let me tell you, friends, you and I had encountered God one way or the other. That's why we are here, and each of us have a testimony. And Jesus is commanding you this morning, go and show the people the compassion that Lord had on you. Are you going? How are you sharing your story this morning? See, we have a God that says yes. We have a God that says yes, but sometimes he says no. Because he's a father. He sees things in different perspective. But first, you and I need to recognize we are nothing. We are weak. We are powerless. And if you want to see victory, if you want to see the church grow, if you want to see, you need to be praying. You need to be completely worshiping. It doesn't matter how far you have gone. It doesn't matter what sin you have committed. If Jesus was gentle with the demons, he will surely be gentle with you. It's okay to be weak, but we will find our strength in prayer and worship. And he says, go. Go and share. You see, Jesus told us in Mark chapter 16. He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16, he said to them, go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Friends, there are so many people who are living today condemned. There are so many people, our neighbors, our friends, people sitting in this church who are living a life with no hope, who are crying, grieving because a loved one has passed away, and they don't know the victory Jesus has won on the cross. They don't know that Jesus conquered death, and Jesus says, go and preach. Go and share. Go share your testimony. There's people who are living a life with no hope. But first, friends, we need to pray. See, when we try to go and preach and do things on our own, we create a mess for ourselves. We end up creating more mess for ourselves. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 16, without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. Without me, you can completely do nothing. So we have to realize that we are powerless and we need Jesus. We need to know more of Jesus and what he's capable of doing on our behalf. We need to spend more time with him, meditating on his word. We need to be filled with Jesus, because you cannot share unless you yourself are filled. So do you know Jesus? Do you know that he's able and he's powerful? See, Jesus overcomes the legions. Jesus overcomes the legions on behalf of this man. Jesus is able to overcome the legion. I don't know what legion you're dealing with this morning. I don't know what guilt you're dealing with this morning. I don't know if you're in a broken relationship. Whatever it is, all you need to do is come to Jesus, fall your knees, and begin to have the conversation with Jesus. And then go. And share. Go and share. And so at this time, as we sing our closing song, as we sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus 499, I want you to make the proclamation in your heart right now and say, Jesus, here I am, powerless and weak. As we sing, think about that. Say, I'm powerless and weak. Help me. The same prayer Peter prayed when he was drowning and sinking. Oh, he cried out, Lord, help me. And Jesus was there right away to pull him out. If you're feeling like you're sinking this morning, as we sing this song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, what privilege we have to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Talk to him. Begin that conversation. Begin to worship. Don't let your worship end here. But may it be a continual worship. Go in your private areas, on your knees, worshiping and praying on behalf of the church, on behalf of your family, on behalf of your neighbors, and then go share the compassion the Lord had on you. And remember, if Jesus says yes to the demons, he will surely say yes to you and me. God bless you.